Hi, my name is Marty. Good job. And I am geographically challenged. And when I tell you that I am geographically challenged, I am telling you that I am not too bright in knowing where countries, oceans, states, and cities are located.
You're in Sugar Land.
Actually, I'm in Missouri City. I mean, I can tell you if there's a map without thinking. I can tell you where the Pacific Ocean is and the Atlantic Ocean. I know the difference between North America continent and Australia. I got those down. But when it comes to some of the other things, I am not embarrassed to tell you that I am challenged. And I wonder if there's anyone else here this morning that might be a little bit geographically challenged, other than Mo not knowing what city we are in. Well, I used to feel bad about it, but I found some people who are actually more challenged than I am. There's a travel agent who tells a story about a phone call he received one day from a woman who was planning a trip to Hawaii. And when the travel agent went over the cost of the trip, the woman stopped and said, excuse me, would it be cheaper if I flew to California and took a train to Hawaii? I'm better than that. And then there's this agent who still laughs when she tells a story about a call she got from a older gentleman who was furious with her about the Florida trip he booked. And she finally calmed him down so she could get to the bottom of why he was so mad. And if you listen to her, she'll tell you it was all she could do not to laugh out loud when she found out why he's mad. Apparently this man, he said, "I'm furious because I don't have an oceanfront room." And the lady, travel agent, had to explain that since he was in Orlando, and Orlando is in the middle of the state, there was no ocean view rooms, to which he replied, "Don't you lie to me. I looked on a map and Florida is a very thin state." See, I'm better than that. And then finally there was a man who asked if he could see England from Canada. Kenya? He said, "I looked on the map and they seemed awfully close together." So leave that one out at the 10:30 service. Okay, hold on. Don't tell that one at the 10:30. Matt, take that off the... Now, we're going to look at a disciple today, disciple John. And I don't know, because we don't have any record of it, whether John was geographically challenged or not, but I know that John was thrilled that the God he worshiped was not geographically challenged. John counted on the fact that the God he worshiped could find him anywhere he was, even at his lowest moment when he felt alone and lost. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Revelation chapter 1. We're gonna look at this letter. Now, what's hard about Revelation, first off, if you ever hear it, Revelations, tell them they're wrong. There's no S. It's one long revelation. I learned that in seminary. I accidentally put an S at the end in New Testament class, and I lost 5 points. And so I never will forget that again. But when we look at Revelation and we open that book or we hear about it, we get a little bit, well, we miss it. We miss the richness of the book because there are some people who get so tied up in trying to figure out what it means. They try to figure out all the prophecies. They try to figure out when the world will end. And when we do that, we forget that when the revelation that John was given has meaning for us now in this life in what we are going through. Because we need to remember that the reason why this was given, I think, is so that we, 2,000 years later, could make sense of how to understand our lives in the middle of a world that has every kind of challenge. See, and I'll give you the answer to the end. Spoiler alert. John recorded Revelation because he wanted us to remember that in the end, God wins. In the end, love wins. And that's why we're giving this book. So we're going to look at the beginning. Revelation 1. A revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Christ made it known by sending it through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the witness of Jesus Christ, including all that John saw. Favored is the one who reads the words of this prophecy out loud, and favored are those who listen to it being read and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from the one who is and was and is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, who made us a kingdom, priest to his God and to Father, to him be the glory and power forever and always. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. This is so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and was and is coming, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, who shares with you in the hardship, kingdom, and endurance that we have in Jesus, was on an island called Patmos because of the word of God and my witness about Jesus. Isn't that incredible? I've been reading Revelation for years. I've preached sermons on different parts of it, mostly focused on the seven churches. We had a series not long after I got here that talked about the seven churches. We went through each church. But it wasn't until recently that I noticed something I had missed. And once I noticed it, I felt a little bit, I felt a little goofy. Because did you notice where John is writing the letter from? He says, I'm writing a letter from an island called Patmos. Now, he was exiled to this island, and God found him. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, or do you still not get why I think it's so incredible? I mean, it's okay, because I missed it a few times. I mean, Patmos was like an Alcatraz. It was a prison colony. It was an unknown island stuck in the middle of nowhere. And you know that not by looking at a map, but the way he described it. What did he say? I'm writing to you from an island called Patmos. Now, this is how I understand that. If someone asked me where I live now, I can tell them I live in Houston. I don't tell them I live in a city called Houston, because no matter where they're from, they know what Houston is. If you're from Dallas and living in Dallas, you would do the same, because someone in Los Angeles would still know where Dallas is. Someone in Canada still has heard of Houston. So you don't have to explain it. I live in Houston. But when I lived in Bullard, and someone says, where do you live? My line was, I live in a little town called Bullard, outside of Tyler. And then when I doubled in size of cities, and I went from Bullard to Van, I live in a town called Van, outside of Tyler. If I tell you where I was born in a little town called Artesia, New Mexico, in the middle of nowhere. So I wonder, when you were telling people where you were born, did you tell them I was born in a place called, or a city called, or a town called, or did you just say, hey, I was born in Red Lick? Anybody know where Red Lick is? It used to be the punishment of the United Methodist Church. used to threaten, if you don't behave, I'm going to send you to Red Lick. It's up by Texarkana. See, when you have to preface the name of where you are living or writing or born, it says to me that it is an unknown place. That someone outside of the vicinity of that town or that village or that island would have no idea what you were talking about. So when I read that John says he was writing from an island called Patmos, I get this sense that we know where it is, but in John's day, few readers knew about this island. They didn't know where it was. They might not even know it was existed, because you know why? If you look on a map, it really is in the middle of nowhere. But yet, God still found John, even when he was in exile on an unknown island located in the middle of nowhere, an island called Patmos. I thought about this. And I begin to wonder if anyone else in our church worship this morning, in any of the three services, I begin to wonder if anyone else, except for me, other than me, ever has felt like John, you know? I wonder if there's anyone else that's going to be in our building today that has ever felt stuck and alone in the middle of nowhere. Now, sure, you may not be on an island called Patmos, but I wonder if there's anyone else other than me who's ever been in a place called confusion, or maybe a place called mourning or sadness. I wonder if there's anyone who's ever found themselves alone and lost and in an island called despair, or fear, or pain, or rejection. Because if you've been there, you know exactly how John feels. Because if you've been on an island, no matter what you call it, if you've been in a place like John, exiled, alone, unsure about what tomorrow holds, then you know what it's like to feel like you are at the end of your rope, and you understand what you have to do every morning to remind yourself to breathe, to tell yourself to get out of bed, to convince yourself to take another step. If you've ever been there, and I know I've been there, and I imagine most of us have been there, then you understand exactly what John means. And I could share with you stories, but we don't have enough time for me to share the number of times in my life I have been stuck, alone, exiled on an island, feeling like I was in the middle of nowhere. I could tell you about when I went through my divorce. I could tell you about when Connor was born, and he was 9 weeks early, and the first time I saw him, he was on a respirator. I could tell you about that. I could tell you just a couple years ago when my mom died. I could tell you when I was a kid and I used to wonder why other kids had dads to play catch with, and I played catch with my mom, who threw like a girl. I could tell you about that island. I've been in places called grief. I've been in places called rejection. I've been in places called fear. I've been in places where I have felt alone and exiled and isolated, like I was stuck in the middle of nowhere, and I just have to believe if I've been there, some of you have been there. I know as a preacher you're not supposed to share those things because people want the preacher to act like they have it all together, but you know me, I have nothing together. Because I'm no different than you. When you're afraid, I've been afraid. When you struggle, I've struggled. When you've questioned God or gotten angry at God or even doubted God, I've been in that place. And I have to believe there were times when John was writing this, when John was sitting on the island before God found him, before God came to him, that he felt everything that I have felt. Now, God never gave me a revelation like he gave John, but I can tell you this. No matter what island I'm on, no matter what place I find myself, no matter how alone, how exiled, how isolated, how in the middle of nowhere I might feel, the good news is God has always found me. See, I have a God who is not geographically challenged. And here's the really good news. Tommy, you have the same God. And no matter what Judy's going through, no matter where she is this morning, God's going to find us. God's going to find Judy as she's at Methodist and in isolation. God's going to find her. And when God finds, he may not give us a revelation, but he gives us hope, and he gives us peace, and he gives us grace. And he stands before us, and he says, no matter where you are, I am giving you life, and not just life, but abundant life. See, that's what David wrote about in Psalm 139. That's why that is my favorite psalm, Matt, even though I say other ones are. This is a psalm I read every day for probably a month following my divorce to remind me. And I want you to hear, and don't open your Bible, just listen. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and my resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? Because if I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, step into rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. It's amazing. When you stand up, God knows you. God knows you. And when you sit down, God knows you sat down. He knows everything about us. The creator and author of all that was and all that is and all that will ever be knows right where we are. Right here. Right now. No matter what island you find yourself on. And that may not seem amazing to you, but let me try to put this in some sort of perspective. I've heard scientists claim that there are 250 million times 250 million stars in our universe. And they found one. And it's a little star called Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse, they say, is 527 light years away. Now, do you know what a light year is? It's not a difficult answer. It's a how far a light will travel in a year. Anybody know what light travels at? 186,000 miles per second. Do the math. In 1 year, light will travel over 6 trillion miles. Right? You with me? You got the picture? And here is this one little star out of 250 million times 250 million that is 527 light years away. And when you take 6 trillion miles and multiply it by 527, that's how far Betelgeuse is away from us right now. And if you do the math, you know what you come up with? That's far. Very far. And what amazes me about that, the God who knows every one of those stars, that according to David, put every star in its place, the God who created all of this, actually knows when you stand up and when you sit down. And not only does he know, he actually cares about it. That's what David says. Before a word is on your tongue, God knows it. That you can't get away from God. He's to the front of you, the back of you, the sides of you. He is around us. And when God finds us, no matter where we are, whether we're in chaos or confusion, whether we're afraid about what tomorrow holds, whether we feel rejected or isolated or alone or whatever place you find yourself, God finds you. And more than just find you, God calls you by name. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he loves us. So this morning, if you find yourself feeling like a castaway on an island called Patmos, if you find yourself this morning and you're in this place and your heart is hurting or you're afraid or uncertain or confused or feel like you're in the midst of chaos, if you feel exiled and alone this morning, may you remember, may you never forget that you have a God who will find you, a God who will call you by name, a God who knows when you stand up and when you sit down, and a God who loves you. And when you remember that, may you feel his grace upon you. And may he fill you with peace and with hope and with love. And may you remember that with our God, you are never alone. You are never in exile. You are never a castaway. Because at the end of the story, God wins. Love wins. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll stand, and if you'll hold hands with those people who are around you, would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing, nothing you can do that way we make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.